Okay, it's wonderful to be able to learn with everyone today. Continue part two of our discussion of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. If you recall, last week we discussed the parameters of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. We discussed some of the conceptual ideas surrounding Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. In other words, what does it mean? What are the implications of it? And we discussed some of the halachos of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. What does it mean? We discussed Yatzim Motzi, the notion that even though I have fulfilled my obligation, that beautiful comment to the Ran that we saw at the end of last week, that even if I fulfilled my obligation, so long as you have not fulfilled your obligation, it is kami shelo yatza hudami. It's as if I have not fulfilled my obligation. That is how linked you and I are, not just in a conceptual, not just from a hashkafic perspective, but even from a halachic perspective as well. What I want to do this week is discuss an outgrowth of that discussion, and that is the topic of, do I have to sin so that you can not sin, right? Chata b'shvil sheyizke chavercha. Do I have to sin and hurt myself in order to benefit you? Now, I heard at the end of Rabbi Goldberg's shir, the whole notion of that everyone's makabel on themselves, v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, to love your neighbor like yourself. We're talking about here, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. But how far do we take that concept? How far does that extend the notion of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh? Does it mean that I have to personally sin to prevent you from sinning? Or do we say, no, it does not go that far? And it does not go that far, and therefore I do not have to sin. Basically, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh is a nice idea, but at the end of the day, we are each on our own. So this is a topic that we saw in Daf Yomi, those who learned Daf Yomi, a number of months ago. And let's review the sugi here, because it's a very famous and very important Tosfos. The Gemara here says the following. Gufa bayi rabibi barabai, hidbik pas betanur, hitiru lo lerdosa kodem shiavod esrachatas, o lo hitiru. Right, there is a rabbinic prohibition called radiyas apas, which means that I'm not allowed to scrape the bread off of the side of the oven. Now, we know that there's a bigger problem, and that is called bishul b'Shabbos. It's actually cooking on Shabbos, which, of course, is an iser del raisa. So the Gemara wants to know the following. Hidbik pas betanur. If bread becomes attached to the inside of an oven, am I allowed to take it off before I come to a worse prohibition? In other words, am I allowed to violate the iser der rabbanan of radiyas apas, lest I come to Bishul b'Shabbos, olohotiru, or do they not allow me to do such a thing? Says the Gemara, wait a second, I don't understand the particulars of it. Heichidami, ilema b'shogeg velo idkar le lemanitiru. Right, if we're talking about a case of shogeg, where the person doesn't know about it at all, so lemanitiru, who are we permitting to scrape off the bread before it becomes an iser chatas? He doesn't know about it. Right, you can't tell me not to do something if I don't know that I'm actually doing it. Ve'ela lav dihader v'idkar. Rather, are we talking about a case where he finds out about it later? In other words, he doesn't know about it off the bat, but he finds out about it later. So mi mechayiv? Would I be mechayiv in that instance? Ve'hatnan, didn't we learn it in the Mishnah? Kol chayiv v'chatas einu chayavim ad she tchilas shkaga v'sof shkaga. I need to know about it, both at the beginning, it has to be shogeg, and it has to be b'shogeg at the end. And therefore, in our case, what could be the scenario? Again, if he knows about it, and if he doesn't know about it, so how is what's exactly the case going to be? So rather, says the Gemara, Ella b'mezid. Rather, we're talking about a case of someone who did b'mezid. That doesn't make sense either, says the Gemara. Kodem shiavo lidei iser skila mi baile. Then Rabibi, when he was stating the topic, he should have said, before a person comes to violate the Isser Schila, which the Gemara does not say. So we're back at square one. What is the case of the Gemara? Where you say, am I allowed to do Radiyas Apas, lest I come to an Isser Chatas? What are we talking about here? We can't be talking about Mezid, because then it wouldn't have spoken about Chiyav Chatas, it would have been talking about an Isser Schila. Can't talk about Shogeg, because we couldn't figure out a scenario where you were Chayav Shogeg. Amar Rav Shila, La'olam B'Shogeg, Rav Shila concludes the Gemara. Rather, we are talking about a case of shogeg, uleman hitiru, and who are we talking about scraping off, violating an iser derabanan or radiyas apas, lest you come to violate the bigger iser of Bishul b'Shabbos, la'acherim. The Gemara wants to know, Who should I pick on? Let me pick on Jonathan Charm, because I picked on him a little bit earlier, right? The Gemara wants to know the following. If Jonathan Charm sees that bread that I had put in the oven becomes stuck to the side, and it's about to cook, and Jonathan Charm, we freeze that moment right then and there, and he has a calculation to make. Either he can violate an Isser Derabanan or Verdia Sapas and prevent Philip Moskowitz from violating an Isser Deraisa, or Jonathan Charm can say, you know what? Moskowitz is on his own and I'm on my own. Why should I create a demerit in my booklet, Klape Shmaya, right? And as when I get up to Hashem and Hashem opens up my booklet, he's going to say, Charm, why did you violate an Isser Derabanan or Verdia Sapas? Charm's going to say, but I tried to help Moskowitz. Hashem's going to say, yeah, but you still violate an Isser Derabanan. So Jonathan Charm has a calculation to make. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. Does Jonathan Charm, when the Gemara asked all the way above, right? Hidbik pas betanur. Someone attached bread to the inside of the oven wall. Hitiru lo lirdosa kodem sheva lo dechiachata salo itiru. They're talking about Jonathan Charm. Is Jonathan Charm obligated of removing that bread before it becomes a chiyachatas for me? Or is he not obligated? Says the Gemara, maskif la Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes concludes, v'chi omrim lo la'adam chata kezei sheyizcha chavercha. Would you ever have that havamina? That we would ask a person to violate an Isser Derabanan, to do something demeritous for them, I don't know if that's a word, but it's sinful for them, to benefit me? Certainly not, says the Gemara. Right, how could you ask someone to violate an Isser Derabanan? So, to summarize the Gemara, again, there was a little bit of back and forth in the Gemara, but if you had to boil down the Gemara to its core, what's the Gemara wondering? Does Jonathan Charm have to violate an Isser Derabanan to prevent me from violating a worse Isser? Is that part of his obligation? Again, we're talking about this in the context of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, that we are all one people, that we are interconnected. Remember the image of the boat that we had last week, that if there's a hole in one part of the boat, don't think that you're going to be unscathed in the other part of the boat. We're all in this together. I'm actually reading this great book about Pearl Harbor, right? Pearl Harbor, when that bomb hit, and it hit one part of the boat, the other part of the boat, they were just as much in trouble as they were on the other part of the boat. So do we say that? And therefore, if that's our premise, that each one of us are in the boat, so Jonathan Charm needs to plug up the hole in the boat. Whether the hole happens to be under me, or whether the hole happens to be under him is irrelevant. At the end of the day, push comes to shove, there's a hole in the Jewish boat, Jonathan Charm has to violate Isser Derabanan to help me, because we're all one body, and therefore he has to help me out. Or do we say no? Moskowitz, your whole shiur last week of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh is a very beautiful idea. Hashkafically, I love it. I even love it to say Yatzah Motzi, that when it comes to fulfilling mitzvot, Hashem gives us a special dispensation, beautiful Yeshar Koach Chazak Ubaruch. But to ask me to violate an Isser, to ask me to violate a prohibition, certainly the Torah would never ask me to do something. Now, Tosfos over here, in a very famous Tosfos, and it's a Tosfos that is mirrored by a Tosfos in Maseches Erevin. Tosfos says very nice. Over here, it is the definitive conclusion of Rav Sheshes that we would never ask someone to violate a prohibition in order to help someone else. Tosfos says there's one problem with it, and it's a comment of Rebbe in Maseches Erevin. Rebbe in Maseches Erevin, and again, I do not want to get bogged down in the Gemara in Erevin because I will confuse you and I will lose you. So you are welcome to learn the Gemara in Erevin. It's Lamed Beis Amid Aleph onto Lamed Beis Amid Beis. And the Gemara over there is talking about a case where I invite you to partake of my fruit. And it's wondering whether or not Meiser has been taken from my fruit. In other words, is it Tevel or is it not Tevel? So Rebbe over there says, I should take Meiser from the fruit, even though it is Eino Mukaf, which is a nice way of saying it is not close by. It's a certain rabbinic prohibition that we have when it comes to Truma and Meiser, right? That you should take about fruits that is close to you. Here I'm very far away from the fruit. So do I violate that Isser Derabanan of it not being Mina Mukaf? Or do I risk that someone unknowledgeable is going to eat from something that is Tevel, something that Truma and Meiser was not taken from? Revi over there says, V'had amar b'chol me'arvin, Rebbe Savar Nichale Lechaver Deliavid Isura Klila Velo Liavid Am Aretz Isura Rabba. Rebbe over there concludes that it's better for a person to violate a minor Isser, notice the language, Isura Klila, Isser Kal, Velo Liavid Am Aretz Isura Rabba, to prevent someone from violating an Isura Rabba. So now we have a problem. What is my problem? Over here in the Gemara and Shabbos, what do I say? I shouldn't have to violate a minor Isser to prevent you from violating a bigger Isser. And yet over there in the Gemara in Erevin, Tosos points out, that's exactly what Rebbe tells me to do. Rebbe tells me that I should violate the Isser Derabanan of taking Meiser that's not Minamukav to prevent you from potentially violating a worse Isser of Teva. So says Tosos, no. You are comparing apples and oranges. Tosos is going to give three reasons. He says, you're comparing apples and oranges. The case in Masechus Shabbos is different than the case in Masechus Erevin. And if we were together, I would ask you what those differences are, but we are not. We are on Zoom. So instead, I will give them to you. Number one, says Tosos, Hasam, over there, in the case of Erevin, Kidei shelo yochal am aretz tevel al yado. Over there, the whole chap is that it was my fault. I invited you to eat from my produce. And because I invited you to eat from my produce, if you were to eat tevel, it would then be my fault. Amar le, as the Gemara says, male lecha kilkala shelteinim. Come and take a whole bunch of my dates. Avahacha. But here in the Gemara and Shabbos, shalom asa iser al yado. But here, Jonathan Charm didn't do any, he had no participation in me putting something on the wall of my furnace. He had no stake in that. He didn't invite me. He didn't say, Moskowitz, why don't you come cook in my oven? Ein omrim lo chata, afilu iser kal, shelo yavo lichavero liidei iser chamor. That's number one. Tosfos says, answer number one is that the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Erevin are categorically different. You're comparing apples and oranges. In the Gemara in Erevin, the reason why I have to sin to prevent you from doing a bigger sin is because you're in this mess only because of me in the first place. It's only because I invited you to partake of my produce that you now run the risk of violating an Isser Deraisa of eating Tevel. And because it's my fault that you were in this in the first place, therefore I have to commit a small sin to prevent you from doing a bigger sin. The Gemara in Shabbos, so Tosfos says, is exactly the opposite. In the Gemara in Shabbos, Jonathan Charm, he had nothing to do with it. He just happens to be walking by very innocently. And he happens to notice Moskowitz's kitchen. And he sees that there's bread on the wall that's about to be cooked. And he puts on his Superman cap. And he's about to fly in and take it off before... Says the Gemara, you don't have to do that, Jonathan. It's not your fault that Moskowitz is in this mess in the first place. That's answer number one to Tosfos. Answer number two. Va'omer Riva. Da'afilu lemadbik atzmo. Ein lifsho misham lahatir. Dahasam adayin lo nase ha'iser umutav shiase iser kal velo yase iser chamor al yado avahacha ha'maisa shel iser kvar nase umemela yigmar lo yase afilo iser kal biadayim. Again, Toso says you're comparing apples and oranges. There's a fundamental, profound difference between the cases, and that is, has any iser been performed already? In the case in Shabbos, the iser has already happened. Right, the prohibition is already in motion. The only question is, how big does that prohibition become? Does it stay as an Isser Derabanan, or does it become a much bigger Isser Deraisa? The Gemara in Erevin is totally the opposite. In the Gemara in Erevin, nothing's happened yet. All I invited you to do is to come and partake of my fruit. You haven't eaten it yet. So I can prevent you from doing it altogether, or I can do a small sin to prevent you from a bigger sin. That, Toso says, is another reason why we are talking about apples and oranges. Then Toso says, wait a second. I have another problem here. And my other problem here is a Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara in Gittin tells me, V'had etnan behasholeach, mi shechetzov eved v'chetzov ben chorin, I have someone who is half enslaved and half free. Kofin es rabo v'oso oso ben chorin. So I can force you to free your eved. I can force you to free your slave. V'afagav de b'hai pirka amar of Yehuda kolamish hamish charer avdo over ba'ase. Even though we learn later on that anyone who frees their eved violates an ase, de la'olam behem tavodu, pasuk in the Torah, that they have to serve you forever. Right? So we have a problem again here. Right? On the one hand, this slave is caught in no man's land. He's damned if he does, damned if he don't, as they say, right? In other words, he can't marry because he's half enslaved. He can't, right, he can't marry a shivcha either because he's half free. So what does he do? So says Tosos, says the Gemara over there, we're allowed to force the person to free a slave. How can we force the person to free a slave? Let's say Reuven is the master. We force Reuven to free the slave. How can we do that? By doing that, isn't he violating the prohibition of de la'olam bahem tavodu? That you're not allowed to free your slave? So we're asking you to violate a prohibition. Says Tosos, Deshani, Piri Verivia. Again, there the context is to allow him to marry de mitzvah rabahi. Because over there, pru urvu is a mitzvah rabba. It's a big mitzvah. Kidemishani hacham. Berevelezer shenichnas lebeis hamedrash velo matzasham yud. Over there again, he comes into the base medrash. He needs a tenth man for the minyan, so he frees a slave. The Gemara wonders, why is he allowed to do that, Tosos says. Isn't that a prohibition of dil'olam bahem tavodu, says Tosos. No, over there it's different. Mitzvah derabim shiny. It's a mitzvah derabim. Okay, so again, those are two parenthetical comments of Tosos to our conversation. Tosos simply, again, reconciling our Gemara with other Gemaras in Shas. But now let's come back to our problem, Toso says. Again, we had a stira. We had a contradiction between our Gemara in Shabbos and our Gemara in Erevin. Says Toso, Odiye Shlomar. Again, they're different conversations. Did Dafka Hecha de Pasha Kamar V'chi Omrim Lola Adam Chata. What's the context over here in Gemara in Shabbos? The context is where you make a mistake, right? I did something I was not supposed to do. And Jonathan Charm happens to be walking by, and the question is, does he have to bail me out? Again, I made the mistake. Does Charm have to bail me out? Over there, and therefore we tell Jonathan Charm, you don't have to bail Moskowitz out, it's his mistake. He has to bear the responsibility of it. Implied that in another case where I didn't make a mistake, that would not be the case at all. So Tosos, again, just to summarize, gave us three interpretations, right? Do I have to sin in order to prevent another person from sinning? We have a stira. We have a contradiction, Tosos says, between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Erevin. Tosos gives three answers. Number one, was it my fault? In the Gemara and Erevin, it was my fault, my being the person you're asking to sin, so lest I confuse you. It was Jonathan Charm's fault. And because it was Jonathan Charm, I'm sorry, I asked Jonathan Charm to partake of my fruit. And because it was my fault that I invited him, of course I have to sin to prevent. Answer number two was, how big are the stakes here? Are we talking about a mitzvah rabba or not? In the Gemara in Gittin, when we're talking about a mitzvah rabba, you do have to sin, but here, you don't. And lastly, again, was it the other person's fault? In the Gemara in Shabbos, it was my mistake. I was poshea. And because I was poshea, why should Jonathan Charm have to sin to bail me out? Now, there is an enormous nafkamina lahalacha between answers one and answers three of Tosos. An enormous nafkamina. What is that nafkamina? Well, what is the rule and what is the exception? In other words, is the rule that you do not have to sin to help someone else, and the exception is a specific case, or is the rule that you do have to help someone out, and the other thing is the exception? So let's just play this out, right? According to answer one in Tosos, Erevin is different, right? The rule is you should not have to sin to help someone else out, but the Gemara in Erevin is different because it's my fault. I invited you to partake of my fruit, and therefore, even though in general I would not have to sin, here I do have to sin. According to answer number three of Tosos, it's the exact opposite. The default is the Gemara in Erevin. The default is that I have to help you. Then why don't I have to help you in the Gemara in Shabbos? Because in the Gemara in Shabbos, it was my fault that I had the bread there in the first place. So what is the rule and what is the exception? Now, obviously, right? Whichever one is the rule is going to be the normative halacha, and the other one's going to be the exception. Obviously, as you can see, that's where there's going to be an enormous nafka mina lahalacha, right? But underlying all of this is a conversation of how far do we take Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh? Does that notion presuppose that I have to sin on your behalf? If you say like answer number one of Tosos, where Shabbos is the norm and Erevin is the exception, then yeah, there's a limit to how far we go with Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, which means that halachically there are times for it, but at the end of the day, right, at the end of the day, there's a limit to it. I do not have to sin on your behalf. We're in the boat together, but only to a certain extent. If you hold like answer number three in Tosos, where the Gemara in Erevin is the norm, the Gemara in Shabbos is different, then it means that yes, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh means that even if it requires me to sin, I need to go that far in order to protect you. So that's where the nafka mina, that's where this Tosfos becomes a hugely important Tosfos, because it really defines the parameters of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh and how far do we take it. Now this is all quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has the following case. He quotes the Rashba. And the Rashba was given the following scenario. I'm trying to find the clearest way. That is not so clear. Okay? The Rashba was given the following scenario. A person comes, knocks on my door on Shabbos. Okay? And he says, Rabbi Maskut, you have to come quickly. Picture us in the time of the Crusades, right? So the Christians have come, they've taken Chayala, and they're going to convert her to Christianity unless I go and rescue her. Right? Now, me going to rescue her means that I might have to go and leave the Tchum on Shabbos. So am I obligated to do that in order to rescue Chayla? That's what the Rashba was asked. Says, so let's read inside now. Nishal HaRashba al Echad Sheshalchu Lo B'Shabbos Shotziu Bito B'Chazach MiBeiso. This guy's daughter was taken forcefully from his house. Al Yidei Yisrael Mishumad, through someone who left the fold, converted to Christianity. Lotzia Miklal Yisrael. And he wants to now take Chayla, and he wants to convert her to Christianity as well. Imiasim laderech pama b'Shabbos peniav chidu v'tish chameid imutr leilech afilu chutz legimel parsos. Right? Is he allowed to leave the tchum on Shabbos? That's the question that the Rashba is being asked here, and he says v'heishiv hadavar tsarech talmud. He says, first of all, I need to really think about it a lot. Umikomakom kach dati note she'ein dochin Shabbos. Al hatzara me'averos. Right, again, essentially, what are you asking me to do? You're asking me to violate Shabbos to prevent Chayala from violating other Yisurim. Right, she's going to convert to Christianity, she's going to violate other Yisurim. So do I have to violate my own Shabbos to protect Chayala? Now, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh here. We're not talking about a case where Chayala is going to be killed. Obviously, pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. Here, Chayala is just going to do an avera. So do I have to? Says Tosos, I don't think you do. Right? She'ein dochin Shabbos al hatzala me'averos. Why should I have to violate my Shabbos so that you don't violate Nisr? What's Tosos' proof? Lefisha amru, because we say in the Gemara in Shabbos, ein omrim l'adam amud v'chote b'shvil she'yizke chavercha. Tosos says, this is our Gemara in Shabbos, that we specifically do not tell someone that they have to sin in order that to give merit, in order to prevent someone else from sinning. Ve'afilu iser zuta, even if it's a small iser. Lo sharinan le kedei lahatzil chaveru me'isur rabba. We don't even require me to do a little iser to prevent you from doing a bigger iser. And then he quotes the Gemara in Erevin. Dad kam lo arminu b'perek b'chol ma'arvin, nichale lechaver la'ave isur zuta, ki heichi delol ma'avid am'aretz isur rabba, ela kesh'osu itzer bal am'aretz ha'idei chaver. Right, in other words, he's taking the playbook out of idea number one of Tosos, which assumes that the Gemara in Erevin is the exception, the Gemara in Shabbos is the rule. And if the Gemara in Shabbos is the rule, then why should I have to violate my Shabbos to prevent Chaya from doing an Isser? Ad kan l'shono, that is the psak of the Rashba. Comes along the Beis Yosef, and he says, wait a second. He says, wait a second, that is not so pashut, because we know that there are other answers in the Rashba, in Tosfos, right? He quotes Tosfos, he quotes the second opinion of Tosfos, that by mitzvah rabba is shiny, that for a big mitzvah, it's going to be different. Says the Rashba, wait a second, is there any bigger mitzvah than saving a woman from getting converted to Christianity? Vahashta says Tosfos. Imla terutza de mitzvah rabba, according to Tosfos' second answer. Hadavar bar, he says it's so clear. Shein lecha mitzvah rabba milat sila, shelo yafchidu ad shetishda. Right, he says there's no greater mitzvah than preparing that. Vimla terutza de mechalik ben poshea lelo poshea. And if you want to say that the difference is whether it was her fault or not, hachanami lo pasha, what did Chaya do? Chaya was sitting in her bedroom one night when, I don't know, let's pick a name, when Jack came to take her away. Vehilkach, he says, lechalal alea sashabes lepakeach alea shari u'mitzvah namik. He says, not only is it mutter, says the Beis Yosef, but it's actually a mitzvah to do it, right? Ve'ilo ba'i l'miyavid kaifin alei. And if someone doesn't want to do this, I'm going to force them to do it. How do I know? Because in the Gemara in Gittin, we specifically say shekofin es rabo, that we force the Rebbe to free his slave for a mitzvah rabba. And he says, here, it's a mitzvah rabba, so we would force you to do it. Now, why do I share this with you? Obviously, it's an interesting case historically. But you see that depending on which opinion of Tosfos you follow, you'll come out to a different psak halacha lemaisa. Right? The Rashba was a answer number one guy of Tosfos. Answer number one guy says that the Gemara in Shabbos is the norm. The Gemara in Erevin is the exception. If that's the case, why should I have to violate Shabbos to help Chaya? Comes along the Beis Yosef and says, wait, Mr. Rashba, you forgot about answers 2 and 3 in Tosfos. And whether it's answer 2 or answer 3, certainly it would give you at least permission and at most make it a mitzvah to go save her. Either because it's a mitzvah rabba, or because what did she do wrong? What did she do wrong? So that's an example of halacha lemaisa, where this comes out. How far does it extend? This notion of kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. Chaya and I are interconnected. Yatza motzi. I make kiddush on Shabbos morning. I can still go back and make kiddush for her because of yatza motzi. Right? I blow shofar. I could still go back. I could blow shofar for her because of yatza motzi. But you want me to violate my Shabbos for her? You want me to violate an isser for her? Not so pashut. This is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Beis Yosef. This is what the Beis Yosef is quoting. And it's all based on our Tosfos. It's all based on what's the norm and what's the exception. How far do we take this concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet? Now, if you look in the Masifta in Masefas Erevin, in the back, he has Halach Lamaisa, he quotes a Chida. In the Chida, very applicable for what we are about to do in a very short while, the Chida was asked the following question, right? People were shaving using razors. We know you're not allowed to use a razor on your face, right? We use shavers, even that's a subject to machlokas, but needless to say, you go to the barber, they say, could I do a razor on your face? The answer is no, right? It's a big isser, isser derais in the Torah, okay? So the chida was asked that they saw that people were using razors on their faces, okay? Is he obligated to tell them? Now, again, in under any circumstances, usser, but there are gradations of the isser. And the longer your hair gets, the more of an isser it becomes. So here's the shaila. It's during Sfira. If you wait until Lag BaOmer, right, then what happens? The hair grows long enough, and then when they use their razor to shave, they're going to be violating the worst of the prohibition. On the other hand, if you can get them to shave earlier, right, then they'll be violating shaving during Sfira, and they'll only violate a smaller prohibition rather than a bigger prohibition later on. So it's a similar question, right? In other words, do I have to convince them to violate a smaller prohibition now to avoid a bigger prohibition later? Or do we not do something like that? I'll give you another example. This is a tshuva that is found, I'm not going to give the psak halacha, but it's a tshuva that is found in, Rav Asher Weiss has this following in his tshuva, right? We know that Hatzalah, so we don't have this down in Florida yet, although my guess is we will soon, but we don't have this down in Florida yet, but there's something called Hatzalah. I mean, we do in Miami, I understand. We don't have it up here in Palm Beach County yet, right? So Hatzalah. In New York, Hatzalah is ubiquitous. So let's say a guy goes on Hatzalah call Friday night, my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is on Hatzalah. So he goes on Hatzalah call on Friday night. and he comes to the person's house and he realizes that it's not pikuach nefesh. In other words, inarguably, he probably did not have to take that call. Right now, he's there already. So he's going to help the person, whatever the case might be, the halachas of that. Okay? But is he obligated to get on the radio and to call his other Hatzalah friends and tell them not to come? Right? Is he allowed, is he obligated, I should say, to violate Shabbos by getting on a radio right now to prevent the other Hatzalah members from violating bigger Isurim of coming to that Hatzalah call? And over there, when Rav Asher Weiss speaks about that halachic conundrum, he quotes this entire sugya of Chata Bishvil Sheyizka Chavercha. Does my brother-in-law have to use his radio to prevent the other Hatzalah members from getting in their cars and driving there on Shabbos? It's all the same conversation. But I share it with you because you cannot have a conversation of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh without also understanding that there's an equal conversation of the extent to which we take this conversation of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Do we take it to the nth degree? Do we take it to its logical conclusion and assume that if Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that if we're all in the boat together, that literally means we're all in the boat together? And you have an obligation to plug my hole, even though it's going to mean you do something wrong. Or do we say no? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh is a beautiful idea. We love it, hashkafically, philosophically, yatzamotzi, shkoyach, Rabbi Moskowitz. But you're going to ask me to violate a prohibition to help someone else? No dice. That is the sugya of the Masechet Shabbos versus Masechet Erevin, a very famous Tosfos, again, that appears both here in Shabbos and in Masechet Erevin, and in many, many, many halacha lemaisa questions of how that plays out. But at its core is really how far do we take this notion of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Obviously, as we approach Lag BaOmer, as we continue the countdown to Shavuos, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, right? Whether or not I have to sin on your behalf, or whether I don't have to sin on your behalf, certainly it behooves us to spend time focusing on this notion of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that we are all guarantors of one another. Much of our shiur last week was explaining that, because only when we recognize that we are all in this together, that we are one goof, that we are one body, that we are all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can fully approach Hashem on Shavuos for Kabbalas HaTorah.